Reading from the writings of Rabash, volume 3, page 2015, article named Na'aseh V'Nishma Bet, we shall do and we shall hear too. You can go to Cobb TV, where you can send questions, and relevant questions will be aired. Writings of Rabash, page 2015, article we shall do and we shall hear. In the verse, and the man Moshe is very humble. The matter of being humble means to be lowly, that a person annuls oneself before the other. It doesn't have to be external annulment, but also internal. The matter of externality is called what's revealed to the outside, which is the aspect of revealed, that is shown to the eyes of all, that he doesn't consider oneself to be worth a thing, but he considers his friend to be in a higher degree than his. And this implies on the actions he does before his friend. There's also an aspect of internality, that's called an aspect of concealed, which is the thought and the notion, which he should, and his mind, which is also a thing he has to annul before his friend. As it is written, my soul shall be as dust before all. And a question is asked, how can one who is mindful and thoughtful to be able to say that his mind will annul before each and every one, whilst he knows and feels that he stands in a higher degree, in 100 times more, 100 more degree, in 100 degrees higher than his friend. Only that there is an aspect of part and there is an aspect of whole, that the collective is higher than the individual, and one has to annul oneself before each and every part by being part of the whole, meaning that the collective of Israel, even though that individually they're not that important, but from the perspective of the collective, then each and every one in and of itself is very important on behalf of the collective. And one is to annul one's own needs before the needs of the collective. And since a person has to annul his mind, his opinion, and his thoughts before the Creator, thus he needs to make oneself accustomed externally, which is called the aspect of doing, and that's called we shall do. And all these annulments should influence him, so that he'll be able to annul his opinion and his thoughts before the Creator. And it's accordingly found that if someone who is more thoughtful, who is more mindful, then he has, who has more reason, has much more work to do in order to annul oneself before the Creator. Whereas someone who is stupid has no reason to annul his mind because he has no mind. It is accordingly found that the whole virtue of the mind is to have something to annul. And this is the only for this should one yearn to know. And who's unready for that, then it's better for him to not have a developed mind. And that's called his wisdom is greater than his deeds, meaning that he has a mind that is greater than what he can annul. Because the matter of annulment is called the aspect of doing and not hearing. Because the matter of hearing is called understanding. And the matter of doing is only an action, a force without reason. And that's called we shall do and we shall hear. Meaning, if he has the power of the aspect of doing, then he can receive the aspect of hearing, because he's basing everything on faith and not on reason. We see that it's very preferable for us to come to a state in which we can control the part of our senses and our mind. We are realizing ourselves in, or by. It's as if I have a mind, I have a heart, they're in my hands, and when they're in my hands, I at my disposal, when I control them, then I activate only that part of my desires and my intentions in which I can be in bestowal, not in reception for myself. That's Of course, that's a complex state. It's not simple. But we need to try to come to the state. And that's called that a person is riding his donkey, his ass. That he's managing himself by giving his thoughts and his desires to work only in that quality and quantity that allows him to build out of them the form of Adam, human being, that resembles the Creator, that is found in bestowal and love of others outside of his skin. And all the desires and the thoughts that are for himself or for themselves, he gives them only the necessity, and that's also done under the condition that he intends to sanctify them and invert them into bestowal in the next state. Thus, if he is watching oneself this way, then that's called we shall do and we shall hear. Then it is considered that he's working in faith above reason. Of course that this cannot be done immediately when a person just hears about it, if he can hear about it at all, about this kind of work. This comes after a lot of time of the influence of the light during the preparation, when the light helps man to sort all the everything that happens to him in his mind and heart. And then he is able to separate between his actions and his intentions in order to receive, in order to bestow. There are many different forms that awaken within him. And that's how he works. Just ask. You can ask a question about every segment here, if you want. Who's there? Yes, Danny.
So, I'm just the one who sorts things, theoretically speaking. Okay, suppose now this thought came to me. What you said sounds kind of new. A thought came to me now, so I put it in the scale of the group or in my own.
So what else should you do with it?
I don't know, like a thought, like something. I'm trying to think how
first of all, I want to see myself as an expert. I don't know, it's and maybe as a judge who's found in an objective state with respect to what happens to me, without involving my mind or my emotions regarding what happens to me. Meaning, I behave as a spectator from without. That's called that I try to be, in my point in the heart, outside of my body. Outside of myself. My current self. And what awakens the desire and the thought, I have to say that, on the one hand, it came from Enod Milvado. The Creator is playing with me. And that's what he does, on the one hand. On the other hand, what do I do with it? Well, and then, accordingly, I start to work. If I understand that all those things come as disturbances, and there's definitely no more than that, because before the Mahsom, I cannot have a good sensation, or something can come and I will feel good as a result. Not usually that's the case. Then I have to first think for whatever came to me, that everything is for the best, and I have to work with it, because it came for me. And B, after I determine the first thing, I can now think, how can I build something in practice on top of this discernment? Alongside with it, on top of it, when I build my relation, my opposite relation to it, or to some extent alongside with this discernment, I come through the group to search for that source from which I've received this thought or desire, and I have to unite with the thought or the desire that I've received with that same source from which I've received it, so that Israel, the Torah, and the Creator will be one. That Israel is me, who's working with the thought, or with desire, or with both, working in order to invert what I've just received from the Creator, because it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, to invert it into the matter, the surface of adhesion between us, of connection between us. That's called that I've worked in Israel, the Torah, and the Creator are one. And then I anticipate to identify what else might come to me. What awakens within me? Someone screams at me, or even without these external incidents, something can just awaken from within. It doesn't matter. It can come through Yoshe or through Gulim. The Creator influences me this way, directly or indirectly. So I'm looking for opportunities to unify whatever happens to me in every state, every place, with Him, so that my final point would be to receive in my whole heart and soul whatever comes to me, and to see in this only one thing, an opportunity on His behalf to embrace me. So do I identify it as such, and I thank Him, and I also hurry to embrace Him back. To embrace means to reach full agreement with Him, complete agreement with Him, up till devotion, of course.
No.
Well,
in order to start this work, we say that we need a dramatic state. And when there is no dramatic state...
I don't know what you mean by saying dramatical state. It depends upon the preparation of the individual and the preparation of the environment. If a person doesn't prepare oneself in advance by the environment and by his inner preparations of his own, then of course that he will experience dramatic situations where the Creator who's sending that state, the human being, is not ready. So the human being makes the current bad state out of the good state. If every disturbance is an opportunity to reach greater connection, greater adhesion, greater understanding, greater entrance inside, then is it dramatic? I don't think that it's called this way. But if I'm not anticipating for it, if I'm not waiting for it, if I'm not ready, and the same state is revealed, then because of my lack of preparation, it's felt within me as dramatic. It depends upon me. It comes from the Creator according to the state. Tic-tac, tic-tac, like a clock, and it's time, be'ito. I want to invert it to achishena, to hastening it. Then it depends upon my preparation.
What exactly am I supposed to anticipate?
You've studied at school? Yes, and at university also, right? Even in the Weizmann Institute. So what happened? If you're doing homework and you know what's going to happen in the class, you were a good kid, you were the child who makes his parents happy. So you wanted that the teacher will invite you, will ask you, and you will answer her questions and receive a nice grade, return home, and everything will be wonderful. That's in condition that you're ready. But if you're not ready, but the lesson still has to happen, and the teacher will eventually ask, and will give you a grade accordingly, bad grade, and you return home, and you receive from your mother kind of a... instead of an embrace and a hug, she will give you morals. So who's to blame? You are to blame, because you've prepared yourself or haven't prepared yourself, right? So what you're asking about, that's exactly the choice between the difference between in its time and hastening it. Everything depends upon preparation.
Suppose I'm expecting for the Creator to play with my ego every moment, make a strife between me and friends, and so on.
You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't wait for it or compel him to work this way. You should just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Not wait. Don't compel him to work. How come you know what should happen? You don't. Maybe he is working with you for a while, but you are unable to identify this action because your lack of sensitivity. He is sending you every moment thousands of signs, and you don't refer them to him at all. That's what you're saying. The Creator doesn't relate to me. That's how it is, Mister.
What does it mean that there is work to nullify yourself toward the Creator, and there is more work in nullifying oneself toward the Creator? What does it mean to find more work?
To find more? There's always a partial state until a certain border. Yes, and from that border onwards, no. We are in a state of incapability of working with everything in order to bestow. We have 348 organs. 365 organs, so we are unable to bestow in all of our desires. So you can always depict oneself in practice, if a person is active in it, that he would like to work more, or at least he's aware of the fact that he wouldn't have liked to add more in bestowal because he doesn't want to. He just doesn't want to. But I'm aware of the fact that I don't want to, that I have this limit. And I'm even afraid that I might want to. And so on and so forth. Yes.
My life divides into two parts today. The work that's going on in the group, where the unity and my understanding about what's happening, how is it connected to our path, all that we're talking about here, and so on, is pretty clear. Now, there's the other side of life, everything that happens when I'm outside the group, suppose at work, with friends, and so on. What I still can't do is, I don't know, my boss, he sent me some mail, or he said something to irritate me. And how is all that connected to our way, the work in the group?
It's not connected. Your boss is completely not part of this world. He's in a different world. The Creator doesn't control your boss. This is why you are pissed off at him, and you start to relate to him as if that's, I don't know, completely not part of your reality. Right? I'm asking you.
No, not at all. But
no, so what are you asking about?
What I don't get is, how does what happened is there?
What does it matter? In which ways the Creator is playing with you? To which place of working place He's placed you in, and between which people? The only question is how much you're allowed to use them, through them, to connect to the Creator. So you need to work with them exactly in the same state, in the same style, in the same level they are. But you, yourself, you're still relating to them as if they're a game in the hands of the Creator.
It's a bit more complicated. I understand that it's the Creator playing with me, but...
No, it's not complex. You have to do it.
What I don't get is, what does he want? What's the game?
He wants you to reveal him in all actions. And alongside with it, behave the way these people behave. You anticipate that you'll behave.
What does that mean, to reveal him in all actions?
To reveal that he's doing it. He's doing it, and if no one can help me, then who can? And an ilimili.
Somehow what you're saying,
that's what divides you to pieces.
No, I'm in a place where I understand that someone's toying around with me, but I don't understand what the game is.
I don't need to understand the game. I'm unable to understand the game on your current level. Otherwise, why should I rise? And also, I'm not rising to a higher degree to understand the game. I'm rising in order to pay back to the Creator his relation to me, so that he will see that I'm playing well with him, that by the game that he started playing with me, like with a small child, I'm playing with him according to his conditions, and I reached through this game to acquiring new attributes. I don't come to solve the problem itself. I don't understand how does he behave and why. I don't care about that. That's not what's important. Not the game itself is important here, but how, by playing with him, yes? If I want to connect to you, then I look for something that will connect between us, something, it doesn't matter what. Chess, okay, cards, okay, games of dice, doesn't matter, okay, let's go golfing, badminton, doesn't matter what, let's sit and drink a beer, I don't care what. The most important thing is that I'll be with you. And then by the means of the game, we can start connecting between us, such connections out of which we'll understand each other. But the game is only as an external wrapping. I'm not going to reveal what happens with the boss, and that immediately vanishes once I find the contact with the Creator. My boss suddenly flips 180 degrees.
And finding contact with the Creator in this state, it's actually tying this action to the Creator, and that's where the process ends.
Well, it's not as simple as you're describing it, but yes, at least this. Yes, Lior.
If we can read again the third passage and elaborate a bit on it. I'll read. Okay. There is the part and there is the whole. Where the whole, the generality is higher than the individual. And a person has to nullify himself before each and every part because he is a part of the whole, meaning that the generality of Israel, even though that in particular none of them is that important, but because of the generality, each one of them is extremely important on behalf of that generality.
Well, ask about it. You want me to read it again now?
How? He says
that each and every one will be as important as the whole.
There are like two opposites that you have to hold together. He says that even though that in particular none of them is important, meaning each in particular,
zero importance.
Yes. But in general, each one of them is extremely important. So,
what?
Suppose I look at Eli, and I saw him as Eli, someone who I despise, and he is worthless.
Correct.
But at the same time, if I look at him as a part of the whole, I do appreciate him.
Because he includes the whole.
So first of all, is this the right picture, what I've depicted, that if he is a part of the collective and so on?
It all depends upon your observation. Not upon him, but upon the way you look at things. That's first. Now, in the way you look at things, there are two ways to measure. Or you think about the individual. When you separate him from the collective by your ego, or you're looking at him integrally, when you know that each and every one belongs to the collective. Just like we see the world now, that the world is integral, that we're all interconnected, we're all interdependent, and in this incorporation, each and every one is important like everyone else. It's not clear yet to the world, but they will come to that. That in an integral system, there is not even one detail that doesn't influence the whole system. And the system has to be complete. And 100%. There is no less perfection than 100%. And thus, each and every one is as important as everyone else. Because each and every one can just corrupt the whole system. And not only that he can corrupt the whole system because the whole system depends upon him this way, but he revives the whole system. Each and every one is a crown, a keter, on his own behalf with respect to the whole system.
So, we nullify ourselves toward the friend only as a result of this perception of reality that he is a part of the whole, of the integral reality. That's the only reason for which to nullify myself toward the friend. I nullify myself before the friend because he is a part of the integral system that I'm part of too.
The friend is a part of the integral system. and he includes within himself the entire integral system. Thus, each and every friend is as the whole system. Every friend is a representative of the Creator. The Creator stands behind him and presents himself this way to me. So he's no longer a part. He's already the face of the Creator. Well, it depends upon the recognition of the state, but yes.
So the question is, do I first have to see the friend as the face of the Creator or part of the system, and then I have the ability to nullify myself toward him? Because that's how I see him. Or first of all, I have to nullify myself, and then I can see him as the face of the Creator and part of the system.
Try both. And you can see. I cannot give you the ability to ask from there, because we'll have to wait for half an hour until you come to the proper place, you understand? So whoever wishes to ask should approach the mic.
Previously or earlier, you gave Bensi the example with the university and being a student and so on, and you asked him, who's to blame that you came unready? And you said, you. I don't think that he's to blame, or to me, I'd say that the Creator's to blame. This is my character. I'm unorganized. I run away from any framework. And why come to the lessons and so on? So clearly I would fail in this work. So we say that the spirituality has nothing to do with the character.
You're talking about the past or what? I don't understand what you're asking.
I'm asking how to do the right kind of work.
The heaviness of the heart I've received, which is also called my character, that I don't want to, I'm unable to, I don't feel like it. Doing something, that I'm lazy, that I hate everyone, that I reject everyone, I'm this individual, individualistic. Those things, all of them, is me. That's what the Creator gave me. That's my Pharaoh. Now, when I'm in the world, and that's how I behave, everything's arranged this way. Everything I have within me and around me, it's all given. Each and every one has this luggage, this cargo of his own. And what? Were you asking?
How could it be that it's not influencing my spiritual work?
I don't know, but that's given to me. No, I will now, I should now search for a certain, I don't know, an appendix that. An application form that I should fill up, and the Creator should hurry to take my application and swap my character to something better. No! He tells me in advance, I've created the evil inclination. That's it. So I will now sit and eat myself up. Why am I so bad? So he's telling you, I've created you such. So that's it. So you want to eat yourself up? That's called stupidity. Or you can start working. So, look in your deeds. That's how it's called. If you're already born and you already live your life, then use what you were given.
How is it possible that I, that all the time, want to run away from frameworks? And suppose I have an awakening, I agree, and so on.
Your awakening was also received from him. And even this thought that you criticize and that you relate this criticism to the Creator, you've also received from the Creator.
Okay, but in 2 days I'll forget about this awakening and run.
I don't think about what will happen 2 days from now. I'm thinking about now. What are you trying to say?
What I don't get is, how is it possible that a person that is organized this way from nature and every day wakes up on the same minute and does the series of actions?
That's the Creator doing with them.
And to be efficient and organized and dissemination and so on.
And you don't have anything of that.
I can't even shave on time. So
what do I do?
I am obligated to the framework and I can be persistent.
So how can you do it? A person who comes here permanently, every morning, the Creator wakes him up and brings him here. Regarding you, he doesn't do that for the past 6 months. And later, for a day or two, he does wake you up. And then you start being nervous. Why did it happen? How have I missed these 6 months? So what does he want? He wants you to address him, to shout at the Creator. Why didn't he wake you up every day? Why only now? And from this day on, you're asking him to be as your alarm clock every day, to give you the vigor to stand up, to wake up, jump out of bed and come here. So whom does he relate better? Whom does he searching for contact with? So think, and then you'll know.
I don't know. There are people who are under the influence of the environment, the light.
I don't know. I make no calculations with others. I make a calculation with respect to myself. That's it. Do I have something to ask about? Does he give me an opportunity to ask? I immediately run and ask. At least try to. That's it. You're looking at others and you envy. So use this envy correctly. And think for what he's doing to you. He's doing you a great favor that you envy others. You have a prayer, you have a request, so.
But it comes and goes very quickly.
But do you want him to give it to you always?
I want some persistency.
But you will never address him.
No, I mean in the corporeal things. I want to be here every day.
Oh, yeah. You used to be in a much better state in the past.
So what do you do?
There's no need to continue. Think well about your life. Go to the cemetery, sit on a stone there, and think that you're already below that burial place. Maybe it will help you.
Aviram from Nahariya is asking, all that you're saying, it sounds very rational, reasonable, everything, that it's obvious that everything's part of a system, that it comes from the Creator and so on. But how do you bring that down to a feeling?
In many cases, we feel that we have a lack of feeling, that the heart is closed, clogged, coarse, really a stony heart. It doesn't react. It's as if on the one hand, I understand in my mind that I have to feel this and that, but emotionally I feel nothing. Or I even feel something in my emotions, but not completely. It doesn't hurt. That's called that I feel, let's say, in the three first aspect of my heart, but not in the fourth aspect. And that's, where is the sensation? This lack of sensation. I have feeling, but it's felt as a lack. It doesn't really pinch me. It's pressing me, but it doesn't stab me. Doesn't hurt. It is all given to a person to allow him to build his correct relation, correct attitude to what he receives from above. Everything we have or receive from above, we need to relate it to the Creator, to understand why. What kind of response can I give? Where can I stabilize myself with respect to the environment here? Otherwise, I don't relate to him. I cannot. I also have to try to understand that what I receive from the group. If while addressing to the Creator, I quite quickly find myself addressing through the group, because just to shout just like that to the Creator, it's like, I don't know, it's not, to a person who works for the Creator, it's clear to him that that's not the way to address the Creator. But to find, try to stabilize this general, integral force that is revealed only in the group and to address only through the group is the first phase. The second phase, which is also more difficult, is to see how the Creator is influencing me through the group, that all of His actions towards me are done in order to compel me to integrate more into the, to be more integrated in the group, to connect more, to bond more, that my game with the Creator and that the Creator's game with me is only regarding to how to improve myself within the group, how to be connected there in all possible details and the most efficient, optimal way. So here we have a slight problem until a person is able to really place oneself this way. Because then it turns out that he envisions this general system of the whole of reality, of all the worlds, of all the souls, of everything, everything, everything. And then, just like he's in a spider's web, he's doing a calculation only with that. And then his mind starts to be a networked mind. Maybe we can put it this way. That it's a completely different mind. He does calculations really as if he's part of a network. Not like his infant who's doing something, doesn't even look around. He doesn't he feel the whole system, that he tries to feel how much it depends upon him, how much the system depends upon him, how much the activation of the world depends upon him. And then he sees himself as a passage between the Creator and the entire system and the whole world. Then this starts to be revealed to him, to each and every one. And no one disturbs the others here. But in reciprocity, all these networks, as if individual networks, they connect, and we eventually see that we have a ball before us, a whole, a complete form.
So moving on to the next part of the lesson.